Ever made by man. I'm going into this mic written by this hand. I'm coming out of this mouth made by this tongue. I tell you now, my man, my name is Young. But so you think that this your destiny to get the best of me, but I suggest to be.
So let's get into this episode. What do we got coming up here?
We have the lovely ladies, the Teardrops of Crybaby. We have Allianne Rosen as Wanda Woodward, and we have Abby Flockton as Pepper Walker. And made famous from Crybaby, the 1990 ridiculous camp show by John Waters, who is an evil genius with his weird little pencil mustache. Super excited. They are going to come on the show, and we are going to talk about their experiences in Ottawa theater, as well as what they're doing right now, their experiences in all thing arts, and their favorite things about the show that we've got coming up.
All right, I'm excited. Let's hear it. Ready?
Let's go.
All right, let's do it.
Teardrops of morning. Teardrops of morning. Cry, go on, cry. Cry, go on, cry. Teardrops of morning. On the eyes. Teardrops of morning. I wonder why. Teardrops of morning. Why you made me cry.
All right, and we are back. As promised, we have Allianne Rosen and Abby Flockton on the show, both members of Crybaby from the Teardrops. Welcome, Allianne and Abby.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks.
So excited to have you here in South Hood Studios. There's a lot to talk about. We, of course, are part of Crybaby that is opening May 11th. From May 11th till 19th, we will talk about Crybaby in a little bit. But first, we want to give you an introduction to both of you as characters and as people. Abby, is this your first time on a podcast?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Oh, I'm so excited. And Allianne, you're a veteran of the podcast now.
I've been in a couple of podcasts. I wouldn't say I'm a veteran, but I definitely am familiar with this vibe and surrounding.
Has the previous podcast been a positive experience?
Well, it was with an ex-boyfriend,
so no.
I'll just leave it at that, you know?
So yes, but with baggage.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, you guys, for coming on the show and making the trek out here. I guess to start off, as I've mentioned on the show before, I've only been, like, I fell face first into Ottawa theater, and I've only been doing this for about a year and a half now, but you guys have been doing this for a while, so I guess the big question is, when the hell did you get started in Ottawa theater?
So,
Abby first?
Yeah, I got started when I was about 7 years old. There was
Yeah,
I know. My mom was super into Kanata theater, which is like, it's this little playhouse called the Ron Maslin Playhouse, and she was doing it since she was pregnant with me. And then when I was born, she was like, all right, off you go.
You're born on stage.
Exactly. And then every Saturday I would go to this little group, and like for the first 2 years I would cry every single time that we went in because I did not want to go. I was not a fan. But then eventually I started getting used to it, and like we did a show every single year with like all the kids. And then when I turned about 16, I started doing like more theater. Like the first thing that I ever did at the Gladstone was My Fair Zombie with Brett Kelly.
I was at that show.
Yeah. And yeah, that was the first thing that I had done that was professional. And then like I did some ASNY stuff recently. I was in Little Women, and now this.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I remember seeing you, and I was told afterwards, like, cause I had gotten my makeup done by your moms.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, did you see my daughter? And I was like, who was she? She's like, she was the flower girl. And I was like, oh my God. She's like, she was so proud. She was like glowing while she was like painting like obscene amounts of rouge on my face. I was so excited. No, that's awesome. Like, so it's just been, has it just been the three shows so far?
No, there's been other stuff, but I couldn't remember it off the top of my head. That's there's great. Been like a lot of shows at Kanata Theater, but that's all community, so it's not like super professional. And there was some stuff. I wrote a show in high school, and we got it published. It was based on this book called, well, we called it Death of a Perfect Stranger, but it was based on a book by Alan Bradley. Maybe not. He's an award-winning Canadian author. He writes... It's super cool. He writes mystery novels about this young girl named Flavia Deleuze, and she, like, goes and solves mysteries in, like, England. And so he wrote a play based off of it, and then we sent it to him, and he read it, and it was cool.
Oh, wait. Flavia Deleuze. Was that The Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie?
Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie.
Amazing.
That's the book. Yeah, awesome. We did the first book and his second book, The String That Hangs the Dead Man or whatever.
God damn.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Awesome.
It was super cool.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
We got like personalized letters from him.
And Allie-Anne, what has been your history?
Okay. So the first ever show that I ever was in was when I was 7 years old. I played a clown in my elementary school show. It was terrifyingly bad, but I caught the bug, and I did a lot of OLT theater camp growing up. So that's sort of like the history of my time here in Ottawa. I did go to university for theater. I have a BA with honors from Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and I have a certificate in dance from the Canadian College of the Performing Arts. So after school, I was broke and going through some family stuff, so I came back to Ottawa, and that's sort of where my Ottawa theater career started. I've done shows with Orpheus, Toto 2 Theater, Maple Leaf Productions. They do like political musicals.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now Theater Kraken. This is my first Theater Kraken show and I'm loving it. You probably, if you guys are theater enthusiasts, you would have seen me as Kate Monster in Avenue Q with Toto 2 Theater. You would have seen me in Spamalot. You would have seen me in American Idiot. I was the one who danced like the whole show.
Is that the Green Day thing?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I saw that.
Yeah, that was a really, really fun production.
Was that in Ottawa?
Yeah. It was. It was with UOMTS, which is University of Ottawa Music Theatre Society. They are community-based, but they are run by a bunch of really young, enthusiastic, and passionate theatre people, and they produce some pretty amazing shows, so definitely check them out. I think their next one is Dogfight, so yeah, like really good quality theatre stuff coming out from them. Yeah, so I've had a really great time. Lots of cabarets, lots of little mini shows here and there. My other claim to fame is I ran a children's entertainment company for 3 years. It was called Plum Puppet Entertainment. And we wanted to do theater, but what we mostly did was children's birthday parties as princesses and superheroes. So,
oh my God.
And that's something that actually Abby and I have in common. We both are, well, I'm a former princess and she's a current princess with another company here in town.
I remember, I think, one of the first times I ever actually like had a face-to-face talk to you. Abby, you were full on in your princess gear. Like you'd just come from a party. You were in full dress, full wig. And I was like, who is this? Like, I was so impressed. And then like another day you came to like a rehearsal and you're like, okay, I have to go be Ariel now. And you like went into this room and you changed. And instead of just being in your like civvies, like most of us, you came out in like the full blue dress and like the red wig. And you're like, I have to go now. And I was like, what is happening? And you, the fact that you got in your vehicle and like drove somewhere in your princess gear, like I would never wish for anybody to be like pulled over by the cops, but the amount of hysterical.
It happened to me.
No.
Yeah, I got in.
Who were you?
I was Elsa. I was in the car with Anna in the middle of like a crazy like wintry storm. It was right after like a big ice storm, and I was turning left on a yellow light, and the guy couldn't stop and he hit our car.
Oh, no.
And so yeah, Anna and Elsa got into a car accident with like this man and his son. And it was really, really awkward. I think the most awkward part, though, was that they did not like acknowledge the costumes at all.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
We were just two people.
They're crazy.
Dressed like princesses. Just with, living like, life. Big sparkly Elsa wig and a cape dragging behind me. And like there's like a trunk full of princess goodies in the back. Yeah, I'm just grateful it happened on the way back from a party and not to a party. And nobody was hurt, thank goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Honest,
so it's
right.
Something that you can look back on and laugh because no one was injured.
Yeah.
And so I have to ask the question, if they asked you for like insurance or whatever, did you just look at them and be like, let it go?
No.
Oh, damn.
Missed opportunity.
Golden opportunity. Golden opportunity missed. So what is that, I have to ask, like, what does that entail being like a Disney princess? Cause that's an ideal for a lot of like young ladies and probably young guys as well to look at Disney and be like, why not me one day? Is it as glamorous as it sounds?
I mean, I think we have very different perspectives off of it because my company is very different. So we do like the activities that we do magic, balloon animals, face painting, and then singing and dancing and pictures with the kids. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of the other companies, I don't know what you did exactly.
Well, ours was very catered. It was very theatrical, actually. We had like a very interactive mini show almost with the princess, kind of telling her own story. And there was a lot of emphasis on gifts and makeovers and making the little kids feel really, really special. Yeah. So it was less like magic tricks and balloons and more on the side of being almost theatrical and performance. Like, we were the only company in town that guaranteed all of our performers were singers and actors in town and had a theatrical background. But everybody, there's a bunch of different companies here in town and they all sort of offer something different. Tell us more about like what it's like being a princess, Abby.
Yeah, being currently a princess?
For me, I don't know. I don't find my company to be particularly glamorous. It's a lot of, we're dealing with a lot of young kids and kids already are like disgusting. They're so gross. They pick their noses. They wipe their nose on my dress. They like grab my wig and like put their fingers all through it. And it's like mildly disgusting. But overall, being a princess and like singing the songs and then getting the little hugs at the end, that's excellent. And that's why you're there. You're not really there
Does your company pay for the dry cleaning with getting all the bugs off your dress?
Yeah, they do. Oh, thank goodness. Because like
all the cake smears.
It's pretty gross. And like kids, especially when you're at a party, like a parent that can pay for their kid to have a princess at their party, it's hit or miss whether or not the kids are actually well behaved or if they're just used to this princess treatment all the time. So like for the most part, your kids are lovely and they like they'll pay attention and they'll be well behaved. But every now and then you'll get a kid who's like in their birthday and they're yelling at the other kids or they're saying like, this is my birthday, get away from Elsa, or like,
oh my God,
they're terribly behaved.
So it's like, it's almost like a miniature version of like that old MTV show, like My Super Sweet 16, where someone gets like a Bentley and she throws a tantrum. She's like, it's not the right color.
Yeah, exactly.
Mom, you idiot.
Sometimes they're so badly behaved and it's the siblings that are bad too. Like I was at a party one time and I would make this kid a balloon sword, which is like, great, great idea. Let me make a balloon sword for the 6-year-old boy who's already like not engaged with me at all. So for half an hour, as I'm making the rest of the other balloon animals or painting faces or whatever, he had his balloon sword and he was smacking me in the head.
No.
But like as a princess, I'm sitting there as Elsa and I'm like talking to this little girl and like, what would you like for your face painting? Would you like a flower or a rainbow? And this kid is hitting me and I lost it. So I whipped around at this kid and I said, hit me one more time and I will freeze your heart. And that stopped him. And that's, you know, a little trick there.
But you know what? That was in character. That was
sometimes
great.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yep.
And sometimes to keep the kids in control, you're not as glamorous as a princess has to be.
Elsa doesn't take no shit.
Elsa does not, ever.
Nope, she will.
I just want to punch in here saying that Balloon Sword is a great band name.
Balloon Sword? That
Balloon
is a great
sword.
Band.
That is
a great band name.
Yeah.
All right, next band we create.
Taken, trademark.
Patent pending.
Yeah, I would say that I had a similar princess experience in terms of you have great parties where the kids are very attentive, wonderful, lovely. They come from lovely families who love them very much. And you do occasionally get the spoiled little disturbers, which isn't great. I think what really drew me, because all throughout university, I paid for my degree being the Little Mermaid in Nova Scotia for a very similar company. What I loved about it so much was making a difference in these kids' lives. And we would do events at various hospitals and with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And those are the memories that really made me want to continue doing it. And, you know, you go to a party and no matter what kind of mood you were in, no matter how you were feeling, you were looking pretty mighty cute and you were being loved for 90 minutes straight. Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, that's like, I think the main draw for me was, you know, making somebody really, really happy and feeling their love and their positive energy for that 90 minutes and knowing that you made them, you know, you made somebody really, really happy. So
you guys are both much better people than I could possibly be. I worked in a children's department for several years when I worked for Chapters, and that's actually how I met Dawn. Dawn was my boss.
Oh,
and we will talk about Dawn in a little bit when we talk more about Crybaby. But if I can wrap up Disney Princess, I have to ask everyone here, who is your favorite Disney princess?
Rapunzel.
Nice.
Interesting. Why?
Yeah.
You just love Mandy Moore?
I do love Mandy Moore. That's a good point.
Oh, well, remember. I once served Shane West breakfast twice.
Oh, really?
He came into my restaurant and I served him breakfast.
He was very hot. Nice.
He was. he's aged a little bit, but he's still nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely Rapunzel. She is the most fun to play. She is, because Rapunzel is the type of princess where she can be barefoot and she can run around with the kids. Like, whenever I do events where, like, you have multiple princesses go, I always like to be Rapunzel. Because, like, Elsa has to sit and be serene and, like, preppy the whole time.
Well, she's the heir to the throne.
Yeah, she is. So she's not as cool. But Rapunzel, I can take my shoes off and, like, run on the playground with the kids and, like, go down the slide. And that is significantly more fun.
She's a little spitfire.
Exactly.
Kellyanne?
I think I almost have to split my answer.
Oh.
No, but you'll understand why. My favorite growing up was Belle. And I love Belle. I love that she's, you know, very smart and outspoken and says what's on her mind and stands up for what she believes in. And, you know, doesn't go with the flow. She goes against the grain. She is who she is, and she's comfortable being herself. So I really relate to that, and I admired that as a kid. Even, you know, even at four years old, I could tell, like, man, she's badass, and she knows who she is. I did a lot of Little Mermaid parties, and I'm naturally sort of a redhead. It's more of a gingery color. Yeah, we've got a lot of red in the room. I mean, you're more of a auburn brunette.
Mouse colored.
There's red in there. But yeah, there's a lot of red in my hair, and that's actually why I got so many parts, was I had dyed my hair a bright, fiery, like, engine red color, and they didn't have a wig.
Like a hull red?
Like a
it's a color.
A cherry red, a fire engine red. And so I got a lot of parties just, you know, like styling my hair and being the Little Mermaid. And I really got to know that character. And I know she gets a lot of beef for, like, changing for a man, but I don't really see it like that.
That's fair.
And also because she's quiet for half the movie. She only has two songs.
Yeah, but I don't know.
But what a song.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the quintessential, like, Disney princess song. You know, if you were going to name a Disney princess song right off the top of your head, it's Part of Your World.
Or Let It Go. I would wager a guess.
No, we're talking Disney Renaissance, man. Disney Renaissance.
So
2D.
I have a really big soft spot for her because I really got to know her and know her story. Probably better than any other princess. I also have a soft spot for her because I auditioned for the Disney cruise ship in Vancouver. I've auditioned for them a couple of times, but again, I had my red hair. It was more similar to this color. I'm sort of a strawberry gingery blonde right now. And they came at me after the audition. I didn't make it. And they said, hey, like, we really liked you and you'd be great in the parks. But you look too much like Ariel in real life and you'd be too recognizable on the cruise ship out of costume. So we're going to have to pass on you.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently I look way too much like the Little Mermaid in real life.
Well, compliments to you,
man. I know, right?
God damn.
So, yeah, I would say that Ariel and Belle are my top.
Solid.
My top two.
That's fair.
Ohio, who is your favorite Disney princess?
I don't have a favorite Disney princess. I was always cheering for the bad guys like Cruella De Vil and Maleficent. Like
Cruella De Vil has some good stuff.
Like they had
plus
they,
her style was on fleek.
If I may throw the wrench in the works here, I find that the Disney princesses were all kind of like cookie cutter carbon copies of each other. Maybe like yay, good, everything's good. I thought the villains had so much depth and weight and stuff like that, and they stole the show. But it's just, you know.
So
I go for the bad guy.
I will say that there are certain
not
villains.
Not to knock anybody that.
Yeah, there are certain villains that stand out above all else, not least of which was Hades, because it was just.
There you go.
It was, oh my God. He was so good in that. Oh, is my hair out? no, I did like.
She looks at me and she says, "You're ruining this whole thing. You're embarrassing me."
No, I love it. I was going to say Mulan is probably your favorite.
Didn't see it.
You've never seen Mulan?
I don't think so.
he's a grown ass man, and he doesn't have kids, so
that's fair.
His sister was older than him, so.
But we were not grown ass adults when Mulan came out. We were like between the ages of, well, you were a baby.
I was a baby.
You were a fetus.
But we were between the ages of like 10 and 13. Mm. So no excuses, bud.
He is a boy, though.
That's a good point.
But
Mushu,
you gotta push those.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you gotta break
the
boundaries.
I like the clock from Beauty and the Beast. Who's the clock? Angela Lansbury? No,
that was the teapot.
That was the teapot. That's my that is my favorite Disney princess right there.
Okay. Angela Lansbury.
Why can't she? Why can't she?
You know what? That's fair.
Why can't she be a princess?
Angela Lansbury?
Sure.
She or the clock? Could be.
No, the teapot thing.
Yeah, Angela. You know what?
Potts?
Broke my heart. That teapot.
Angela Lansbury is a princess in all of our hearts.
Oh, for sure. In fact.
Well, there's my answer.
I would say that Mrs. Potts is more of a queen or like grand archduchess.
She's an empress. Oh, yeah. She's a duchess.
Oh, yeah.
Even better.
I definitely like along your way, definitely because I am unashamedly a ginger. I mostly identified with Ariel because she was this like fiery redhead and she sang. And it was one of the first Disney movies I ever saw. And I obviously part of your world was like, oh, and yeah, seeing that, like, all I ever wanted to be. Like, I went through a short phase, mermaid phase. But I absolutely loved that film. I mean, the first Disney film I ever went and saw, it was actually the first movie in theaters I ever saw. I went and saw The Lion King because my mom worked for the Toronto Zoo. And when the movie premiered, they gave advance tickets to all the workers at the Toronto Zoo. So we got to go and see the world premiere in Toronto. So we actually got to go down to Toronto because I lived outside of it. And so it was this big deal. Me and my younger sister, Sam, and my mom went. And we got to walk into this massive theater and we got to like look up. And it was probably only like three stories, but we looked up and it was just like so huge. And this giant banner with like the classic like little Simba symbol with like the schmutz across his forehead. And we're just like, what's happening? And I saw it. And then, spoiler alert, Mufasa died and I cried a lot. But after that, spoiler alert. But yeah, all the Lion King stuff aside, like Little Mermaid was my jam. And I did also love Belle because she, like, I was a heavy, heavy reader. And that song she sings is probably still one of my top favorite Disney songs of all time. That, like, the one she's like, I want adventure in the great wide somewhere.
The Belle Reprise.
Oh my God. It's wonderful. Belle Reprise. And it's just like the way it gets all quiet. She's like, oh man.
But
like that just
it
like.
It might be grand to have someone understand.
I want so much more than they've got planned. Oh, that was.
Philippe!
Oh my god. Oh, that warmed my heart. But yeah, yeah, I used to get like chills watching that. That like there's so many Disney songs where I'm just like, the only one that I can still watch over and over again and I still get like about is the opening song from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Because it's so theatrical with like the bells of Notre Dame. And it's like that huge operatic, like giant voice at the end. I'm just like trying not to cry while I watch it because I'm a big baby. But now that we've talked about Disney and we learned that Ohio doesn't have a favorite Disney princess and that he loves villains.
Werewolves rolling on for one. Ain't all we want is wanna have some fun. Oh, I'm square to be where my property. Yeah, if you're looking around, but you're looking at me, cause I'm a thief.
So I think it's time that we talk about the very bedazzled elephant in the room, Crybaby. Now, I have been talking about this on the show with Ohio for a couple of weeks now, pretty much since I got cast in it somehow, even though I cried during the dance audition, which I totally did. I 100% cried. It was awful. We are less than a month to the show. As of today, it is we are recording this on April 17th. We go up technically on, like, officially on the 11th of May through the 19th. We do have a special preview show on the 10th for cheaper prices. It's cheaper because you're gonna watch us, mostly me, probably flub a dance or
and
two
cry.
And cry a little bit and also miss our cues. No, I'm sure it's gonna be amazing. Allianne and Abby are, and myself, round out the teardrops of Crybaby. And if you're not familiar with the premise, Crybaby is based on the 1990s, like, cult classic John Waters film. John Waters wrote and directed it. It's absolutely absurd. It's most famous for starring little baby Johnny Depp before we all realize that he's kind of a grub. He is. Written and directed by John Waters. It's absolutely hysterical. It's kind of a send-up of almost like a Grease-type scenario where there's, like, the squares and there's the, like, the greasers, except in this version, it's the drapes. And Allianne plays... she plays Wanda Woodward, who was made famous by the lovely Tracy Lords, and Abby Flockton plays Pepper Walker, who was made famous by the one and only Ricky Lake, who of course went on to wonderful, like, midday television
talk face. Show fame.
Oh yeah, just like I used to, you know, used to be ugly, but now I'm beautiful. No, I love it. We have been rehearsing this thing for a couple months now. We're less than a month away. And it is, of course, directed by Don Fex of Theater Kraken, whose previous shows you may have seen. He did Little Shop of Horrors, which is incredible. And he did Othello, which I was lucky enough to be a part of just a couple months ago. The choreographer is Brenda Solman, who is kicking our ass in the best way.
Oh, yeah.
Really, like, all those pas de brés, man. I'm going to die. I even get a fan kick. And musical director is the one and only Chris Lucas. And so I turn it over to the ladies to ask you, what has been the experience so far with Crybaby Abby?
I will say it's a pretty terrific cast. Like, it's... Everyone is so funny and so engaged, and people really do their work outside of rehearsals, which is always super important for any show to be successful, even in the slightest. Like, I think what was one of the best things for me was, like, on our first day of blocking, everyone was off book. like no one, like everyone was going without their scripts. They knew all their lines already, and this is like no one has even looked at anything. We've done one read through, and everyone was ready to go, and they were engaged, and the harmonies are beautiful, and the people are beautiful, and I don't know, it makes my day to go to rehearsals. It's fun. Yeah.
Allianne?
It's such a pleasure and a privilege to be part of this show. Dawn, Brenda, and Chris have been very inviting and supportive throughout this entire experience. And our cast is big, but it feels like a big fat family. And we're just, we all get along very, very well. It feels very comfortable. We have some very engaging scenes that could be very uncomfortable. And for the most part, we've managed to create a very safe, comfortable and warm environment where we can play and experience and experiment and dive into some really interesting choreography, scene work, and it doesn't feel awkward or strained. And you know, I've done a lot of theater here in town, and this has been a very, very positive experience for me, and I'm just very blessed, very grateful to be part of this cast. And they're all so talented. Everyone is just perfect for this show and perfect in their role. So yeah, definitely worth coming out and seeing.
I'm really excited to show everybody.
Yeah,
like I'm really proud of all the work that everyone's done.
I know, I'm super excited. The music that Chris and his wonderful and glamorous assistant, Alexandre Lamour, who is playing Dupree, they've done so much work to get so many harmonies. Like, the cast, I think, is like 18 or 19 people. Holy God.
Like, there's a lot, yeah.
And the way they have broken down every song, broken down every, like, singing group, like I'm a grub who can't read music to save my life, and so even though when they'll say like, oh, this group and this is the note, everybody's been very welcoming, like explaining it in layman's terms to myself, and so you never feel out of sorts when it comes to music. Like, either you're able to read it or you can listen to it and find everybody. And when you find your vocal group, everybody sort of bands together. They're like, is this the note? Is this a note? And you work it out together. Like, it's very communal, and it's very helpful. I feel everybody goes out of their way to try and help everybody else, not necessarily for their own gain, but just because it's the right thing to do. Everybody wants everybody else to succeed, and everybody wants to make it a great show.
I think what's also really special is these harmonies are very, very complicated. There's a lot of jazz harmonies, a lot of really, really bluesy notes that kind of come out of nowhere and you have to pull out of your ass. And we have created a space that it's safe to flop, it's safe to miss the note, because they're going to help you get there. And everyone's been very supportive. And if you mess up, that's what rehearsals are for. And there's no discrimination against the process. And that's been really, really touching to me, because I'm a dancer foremost before a singer. So, yeah, no, totally feel ya,
yeah,
girl.
In my experience, like, I came into this as a, like, I'm first singer, then actor, then very last dancer. But I'm used to doing solo work or just dual harmony stuff through Ohio and I with our band. And so finding multiple harmonies and things was very out of my wheelhouse. And so I would get, you know, just in my own head about trying to find harmonies with things. But everybody was very, very patient. Both the people I was singing with, Chris, like, everybody's willing to take the time and just be like, I know you're going to get it. Just listen to this. It's going to be okay. Just find this note, and you'll find your way into it. And that's been really reassuring. And it's been the same with Brenda Solman and dancing, because I think she knows that a lot of us, like, we are not dancers foremost. Some of us are. Like, Allianne is an incredible dancer. And then there's those of us who are just like, what do I do with my feet now?
Me?
Yeah, and me. Mostly me.
Yep.
She's been very, very patient. And those in the cast that do know what the hell they're doing have taken on this wonderful mentor role to sort of take us aside and be just like, oh, just like, it's this, this, this. And again, explaining things in layman's terms, like foot goes here, your, you know, point of rest or your weight goes on this foot and then you kick out with this. And it's like, okay, that translates in my brain now. Wonderful. Let's do this. So a couple folks I want to mention, obviously, Don Fex, Brenda Solman, Chris Lucas, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the stars of the show, because holy shit, sorry, pardon my French. Emma Woodside is of course playing Allison, the good girl who does not want to be a good girl, which is a wonderful send up of like Sandy from Grease, who is just like the absolute Sandra D. She's like, you know, like twirling her hair, whatever. Allison is sort of forced into this square role, but that's not who she is as a person. And that's why she ends up falling for crybaby Wade Walker, who is played by the one and only Nick Amott, Nick Arnmont to his friends and enemies. He's going to hate me for that. Which is rounded out by Kenny Hayes, who plays Baldwin, Samantha DeBenedet. I'm going to butcher her name. Samantha DeBenedet, who plays Lenora, who is absolutely hysterical. Hilarious. As Lenora. Like, every time she sings a song or just even appears in a scene, I'm, like, trying to do, like, the Jimmy Fallon, like, bite the inside of my lip, try not to laugh, because she's so good. Alexandre L'Amour is Dupree, and it's the amount of squares and drapes that we have in the show are absolutely incredible. I've really monopolized this. We are of course on stage at the Gladstone Theater from May 11th to 19th. Again, there's a preview show on the night of the 10th. There are shows from Tuesday to Saturday, 7:30 p.m. There are two Saturday matinee shows at 2:30 p.m. Really accessible pricing. The adult prices are $39. Seniors are $35. And then there's actually student, artist, and unwaged prices, which makes it even more accessible. They're only $23. So if you are, you know, trying to bust yourself through school, if, you know, you're bust through self trying to work in the arts, or you just, you know, you don't have like a strict job going on right now, super, super easy to come out and see an awesome show. What has been a great experience with you, Abby, in the show?
My favorite thing about theater always is the community. And like, it's excellent to have an understanding that we can only be as strong as our weakest link. And like, if someone is not understanding what's going on, that is going to show on stage. So all together as a team, we have to work together, and that has been exactly how it's been run throughout Crybaby. Like, everyone helps each other and just keeps everything going and makes it an awesome show as a group.
Yay. Eliane?
I think for me, again, I'm just very, very blessed to be part of this show and working with Theater Kraken. I had auditioned for Othello and for Little Shop and had an amazing audition experience with them. They were very warm and welcoming when I got my rejection emails. They felt very personal, and they felt like they had paid attention to what I brought forward compared to other people. It wasn't just a generic,
yeah, hey, just fill in your name here.
No, it felt like I was getting feedback and that I was appreciated for what I brought. And they were very encouraging for me to come out and be part of this show. And I'm very, very grateful that I did. Everybody in the cast is incredibly talented. Guys, they are perfectly cast in their roles. There is nobody better in Ottawa for any of these particular parts. Don, Brenda, and Chris did an amazing job casting the show. And they're an amazing bunch of people to work with. And I'm very, very blessed. Everyone's very professional, very fun to work with. And it's definitely one to come and see. You guys are going to pee your pants laughing.
Hopefully not us on stage as we're doing it.
Yeah. No.
Just although when Screw Loose comes on, yeah, no promises. I'm going to have to do like the SNL, like turn away and this like look like I'm like coughing or something, but I'm actually going to be stifling a laugh. And so I have to ask, because this is so song and dance heavy, and I'll go to each of you, what is your favorite dance and what is your favorite song, Abby? Or you can pass it to Aliane if you need a minute.
My favorite song is definitely the one that all three of us do together. Yeah, A Whole Lot Worse. It's hilarious, for one. And also, we have the biggest. So actually, this is my favorite dance, too. That's the best one overall, just because of how funny we get to be in our individual characters. It's one of the best ones for me.
Yeah,
it's great.
We get to envelop those characters. Yeah, yeah.
And we worked hard, too. And we've worked hard to have an excellent product at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of singing and in terms of the fun number, yeah, definitely our trio number, A Whole Lot Worse, is hilarious, very, very fun. It's probably the number I'm most proud of because it took a lot of work. It's featuring a lot of dance, but it's also featuring some of the hardest harmonies in the show. And I think we've all worked really well as a trio to support each other and let each other shine in our solo moments and really come together. And you know, it's a girl power song. Like, it is your girl power number. So that one's really fun. I am dance captain for this show, and I think that the two numbers that I'm most proud of in terms of watching people's progress, but also in terms of, you know, the fun of helping people and helping people learn these numbers, I'm really liking Baby, 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 Baby. We've got some fun swing stunts going on, and it's been really fun working at figuring those out. Axand is my partner for that, and we just have a big, old, fun, sweaty mess doing those numbers. It's a lot of fun working with him and doing partner work with him. And I'm really proud of how far we've come in our big final number. It's like a 7-minute long number. It's very dance heavy. It's very intense. We learned all of the choreography in one night, which is unheard of. Anyone who's a dancer is like, oh my gosh, a 7-minute number in one night?
Yeah, terrifying.
That's terrifying.
I feel like learned is a strong term.
Yeah, learned is a bit of a strong term.
We got another month. We have a month. I think it's in pretty good shape, but I'm very, very proud looking at that number and what it was and where it is now. And it's really the number that, you know, we've all come together to work on, and you really see that we are having fun being with each other. Even though it's a hard number, it's a long number, it's a big, extravagant, complicated number, but we're having a lot of fun, and it's a team number, and you really feel that team energy when we're all dancing that final number together. So yeah, that's kind of where I sit.
And I don't want to spoil anything, but the one particular move that you did with Axe in that the one thing Abby and I were sitting watching that, I think my heart skipped a beat because I was really worried that you were going to brain yourself. But having said that, I was just like, Axe will never recover if he drops you on your head. Having said that, yeah, A Whole Lot Worse is probably my favorite thing to do, just because it's the three of us just like really, really getting into our characters. And Misery has a soft spot for me. Because just the way it's been choreographed the last little bit, it's so ridiculous, and it's so fun, and I cannot wait for everybody to see it on stage. Just the way it's been mapped out, the way it's segmented with everyone, the props, the dance, it's going to be hysterical, and I honestly can't wait for everybody to see it. It's going to be so fun, and I'm so proud of everybody in the cast. I'm so proud to be included. I still don't know how I fell face first, so I'm just like, are you guys insane? But no, I can't wait for everybody to see this show, and I'm so proud of everyone, and I'm so grateful to Dawn, Brenda, and Chris for their mentorship and their endless patience with us, and yeah, and how they've made us all feel comfortable and nurtured us as artists. And I think that's all I can say about Crybaby. Again, it is May 11th to 19th. Preview on the May 10th, Tuesday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Saturday matinee at 2:30. You can find all of these tickets on thegladstone.ca. Everything is super, super accessible. It's going to be an absolutely incredible show. It is suitable for ages 12 and up if you want to bring the kidless along. Maybe not toddlers because they'll yell and scream and want juice. But reasonable kids age, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I thank you again to Abby and Allianne for being on this show. It's been a blast.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. I'm so glad to have you guys. Thank you, of course, to all the listeners. And we really hope to see you at the show. So if you want to degree,
funniest rhymes ever made by man are going into this mic written by this hand, are coming out of this mouth made by this tongue. I tell you now, my man, my name is Young, but so you think that it's your destiny to get the best of me, but I suggest to be quiet, bro, don't even try, from the east and west of me, taking it and never breaking it or even shaking it.